subjects to everyone. I'm the cause of all divorce, the cause of all conflict. Not all conflict, greed. Well, that's, I don't really consider that one of these. I'm going to talk about emotions. Emotions, those funny things, feelings. What's the difference between an emotion and a feeling? Is it one thing or another? Is it what you think? How do you distinguish between these? How do you get to feel them? That's the real question. I find more and more people having conflict over the fact that one person wants the other person to be more sensitive to their own needs, to their own feelings. So how many conflicts have you seen where somebody says, I want you to be more sensitive, I want you to feel more? Well, that's a very interesting thing. It's like saying to somebody, I want you to be taller. I want you to be something that they may not be able to do. Why is it that people who tend to have more estrogen have more emotions, when people who are more testosteronic dominant have a less range of emotions? You know, it's been said as a joke that men understand only three emotions: lust, rage, and triumph. Well, it's kind of an interesting thing that that's a joke, because the joke has got other things to it. What are the emotions that we are aware of that we may not even think are emotions? Well, one is afraid. We almost all get afraid. There are words for afraid. You could say abandoned, agitated, alarmed, anxious, apprehensive. You know, all anxiety is a manifestation of fear, but it doesn't have to be that you're afraid of something. A little organ in your brain called the amygdala, when it gets flooded with sensation, it sets off a trigger in the body that is trying to get you to watch out because it thinks there's danger there, and that's a fear reaction. Angry. There's another emotion almost everybody could recognize, and almost everybody feels. Now, here's one that's kind of interesting. Confident. Is confident a feeling or is it a mental set? Well, you know, there's a kind of a feeling of confidence, because you could feel a kind of safety inside you. So if we had one that was hyperamygdala, and we call that fear, we could have hypoamygdala and call that confident, meaning you're not nervous. You feel okay. Doubtful, there's another good emotion, if you want to call it emotion, or you may want to call it a thought. We're going to have to sort through it. But doubtful, everything, you know, bewildered, paranoid, suspicious, fearful. Different than frightened, because doubtful has kind of, I'm searching for something wrong. Frightened is something is wrong and I feel it. Happy's another feeling. How's that for a feeling? That's easy to identify. Blissful, calm, carefree. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. The university on the air at WBAI of psychology, I'm teaching you today about the most complex thing, and I promise you, everybody listening, this is a valuable lesson. I've done significant work in trying to bring to you a way of understanding emotions that will help you in your life. You need to understand them, because most people have no idea what emotions are about. People who are hysterical think that they're very emotional, but they're not very emotional, they are hysterical. It means that they feel an overwhelming amount of feelings, and what happens when you have a flood of something, you can't feel the trickle of it, you know what I mean? When you have too much something, you can't feel a buzz of something. So overfeeling is really like, you know, is that person a very feeling person? I have people who come to me for consultation, and they say, oh, I'm very emotional. And I say, yeah, but you're cut off from your feelings. And they know immediately what I'm talking about. They could be very emotional. They could have emotions. They could emote. You know, they could put out a lot of stuff. They could feel one way or another. But could they identify the feeling? Boy, that's a trick. Identifying what you feel. It's a big trick. Because how do you identify a feeling? I mean, what is a feeling? Is it a word? Is a feeling something that's a word? Is it like, I feel, how could you feel sad and angry at the same time? Well, of course you can. What do we call that? Sanger? You know, because it's sad and anger mixed. We use our words for emotions as a way of communicating. Long ago when our ancestors started drawing things on the walls of the caves as a way of saying, hey, you know, I saw a bear out there, you know, or hey, I saw there was an ox out there, and they draw it on the wall with charcoal. They were trying to communicate with each other. And when they showed somebody running away, they were trying to communicate emotions, and he was scared. See? So communicating emotions is not easy. We had to invent words for it. And so we have these words that supposedly communicate the emotions, but they don't. If you ask somebody, what do you feel, they can give you just pieces of it, but very hard to give you a single emotion. There's a lot of shrinks out there who think that you could identify feelings in one word. See, so they say to you, what do you feel? And if you say, I feel sad, they don't say anything, and you know you've gotten their disapproval. And then you say, well, maybe I felt jealous, and they don't say anything because maybe you've gotten their disapproval. The shrink doesn't approve. And you say, well, maybe I was angry, and now the shrink lights up. See, and now you say, ah, that's what I felt. See, because you're identifying your feeling according to the definition given to you by someone else. I think we invented the words for emotions mainly as a way of inventing psychotherapy so we could communicate it. You know, what are all these emotions about? What are these feelings about? Why are we telling each other about our feelings? Well, we learned a lot about that. We have answers to that. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Other emotions that you could definitely feel besides happy and doubtful. Hurt is a funny kind of feeling. You know, sadness is one feeling. Sad and hurt is another feeling. Aren't they close? Aren't those two very close feelings? Of course you could feel cert. You know, sad and hurt. Or had, right? Of course you could feel both. Try to distinguish in you the difference between sad and hurt. And you could feel in that hurt, there's almost a person present. There's a wound present. Sad is like you've lost everything. You know, sad is like a flushing of your body of all energy. Hurt is that something inside you is aching. Something is like a wound, a cut. Curiosity and interested is another emotion. Do you ever get your curiosity piqued? You lift up your head, you go, aha! Now, even though you may say that's a thought process, when you become excited and curious, like a child who gets a gift and loves the box that you deliver the gift in, and they climb inside the box and they're having such a good time, right? That's got to be an emotion. It's at least an emotional state. So what is an emotional state and what is a non-emotional state? I guess we would say New York and Connecticut. I'm only kidding. And I always kid Connecticut. Irritated, there's another feeling. Angry and irritated are two different feelings in a way. Two different feeling states. Irritated is like niggly, you know? It's like you have an itch. It's like annoyed, bothered, distressed, peeved, provoked, shaky, strained. It's not like anger, which is so strong. Irritated is like there's an annoyance. It's like you can't get to it. It's certainly unpleasant. How about another emotion? How about loving? Now, loving could be any number of things, from acceptance to admiring to adoring to affectionate to amorous to awe. Those are just the A words that go for loving. And then we have caring, close, compassionate. You could feel that. I mean, love doesn't have one particular word. When you love a puppy and you love a garden burger, you know, wherever it is you eat, or you love your shake, that feeling of loving is kind of amazing. It goes along with being at peace. It goes along with a whole bunch of things, and it goes along with excitement, too. Of course, then we come to the other emotion, sad. Sad is, such a weird... Where did we get that one from? Who threw that at us? Hey, what's this sad? You know, sad, if you ever feel sad, you could ask yourself a good basic question. What did I lose? Sadness is always the result of a loss. Always. So if you ever feel sad and you don't know why, ask yourself, what did I lose? And you'll find interesting answers. It could be you lose a fantasy, a concept, a wish, a desire. You know, what did I lose? That's why sadness goes so well along with grieving. Because there is a loss. Shamed is another feeling, kind of. I mean, I could certainly define every one of these and say they're not feelings. It's more a thought process. But shamed and humble and, you know, that kind of feeling where you feel wrong. And you feel wrong and you feel like bemirched or corrupted or humiliated or mortified. Ugly, tarnished, shamed. Emotions are very important. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Some of the most important emotions and the most difficult ones are the intense ones. We're going to talk a lot about this today. A lot of stuff. There's so much to learn. I promise you, there is nothing about this conversation that you should not be listening to. Wherever you are, anywhere in the world right now, listening to this program today, which means you may be in Oshkosh, you may be in New York, or you may be in South Africa, you could be in Afghanistan, where I know some of you are, you could be in Greece, and you could be our friend in Turkey, who I know is listening as we broadcast. No matter where you are, you know, the understanding emotions is such a critically important thing. If you understand emotions, you would have such a handle on life. And I mean, just to give you an example of this, I mean, I've mentioned this before, emotions. It seems that there are always the ones who feel the emotions the most are trying to get other people to feel as much emotions as they do. So let's say you're a woman who has a lot of intense emotions, as you should be by nature. Nature born these into you for a very good reason, which we'll talk to. And then you turn around to your husband, who has learned to shield himself from intense emotions by putting up a barrier. And the barrier he puts up is one where he hears it coming at him and he just goes numb. And then he becomes so numb that he can't identify his own feeling. You know, there's a thing called alexithymia. Get this, alexithymia. Alexithymia, from the Greek words, without words for emotions, is a term coined to describe a state of deficiency in understanding, processing, or describing emotions. How many people do you know who are alexithymic? A lot of people come in here who are alexithymic. They just lost it. They lost their feelings. They're in a dull place. It's considered to be a personality trait that places individuals at risk for other disorders because the person is kind of having a difficulty identifying their feelings and distinguishing between feelings And the bodily sensations, you know, they don't know that. They have difficulty describing feelings to other people. They have constricted imaginal process as evidenced by a paucity of fantasies. They don't have many fantasies. And they're stimulus bound. These are people who are really out to get a lot of stimulus because they're numb and they want to feel things. So a lot of people become immune to feelings by becoming alexithymic. In neurology, alexithymia is the inability to feel physical sensations. So they call it, you know, not just numb, because numb has tingling to it. But when a person can't feel physical sensations, that's an alexithymic neurological response. Usually has something to do with brain damage or brain stem damage or something like that. So we're learning, and you're trying to learn about all this stuff, and you wonder, you grow up, and you see your mother being one way, and your father being another way, and maybe if they were outrageous people, they were screaming at each other, and you try to figure out, this is love? Ah! Is that what I could look forward to? Is this love? And then you wind up saying, I'll never have that kind of relationship, and you wind up in that same kind of relationship, right? And you're saying, how did I get here? Because you don't know, because you don't have it, because nobody taught you. There is no course on now learning about your emotions in college, high school, or grammar school. Don't you think there would be a nice one? I'll teach it. You know, I'll teach it. I'll give you a course. You know, reminds me, on May, on March 1st, I'm giving an all-day lecture in New York, which you could find out about by calling my office. Not an old day, I'm just doing a short part. I'm the keynote speaker. I'm the guy to get in there and give you, cheer you up, make you want to be there. You know? 212-209-2950. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Why am I giving you that phone number? I'm giving you that phone number because of all the confusions in the world. The greatest confusion is that about emotions. But I'm going to be teaching you all day today about emotions. There's so much I have to teach you. I could probably sit here for 20 hours. And I could just keep telling you and telling you and telling you what I learned and researched and found with my associates here at the DeMille Center. 212-209-2950. Why would you call that number? You know why you'd call that number? You'd call that 212-209-2950. Because you say, I am so glad to have WBAI on the air because this kind of stuff is what I need to learn about. I need to learn about human emotions. And, in fact, we are offering something that is very unique. We're offering three CDs that we put together on intense emotionality. And these three CDs include CD number one, which is about emotional blackmail. That's when somebody intimidates you with the intensity of their emotions, and you got to go shut down, go dead, negotiate, or hand them your testicles. It's whatever you do. You know what I mean? Or you hand them your will, or you turn over your will, as many people do. Right? And that's what people do. CD number two in this three set is about dealing with hysteria. How do you deal with it when somebody gets out of control? And the third one, which is very related to it, is the conflict between somebody who wants to get you to change and you don't want to change. 212-209-2950. Three CDs you would get if you donated $75 to WBAI, which you would do because you love having us on the air. You love having The Positive Mind. It teaches you. I met so many people this week who donated money to the station because they say they just love what we do and our program, which has been, I've been with the station now 20 years. 20 years! But if you think that's something, the station's been here over 50 years. 50 years ago, this station formed as a way to say no to Vietnam. That's what started it. I believe that was the beginning. And here we are 50 years later with Obama as our president, kind of saying, you know, I think the effort made it. I think we got somewhere. Last year, in our 49th year, I was looking at you with George Bush as our president, and I was feeling shame. I was saying all this work that we've done, my friends, all those marches, everything we're doing, and we're still, well, I guess we're still even sending bombs into Afghanistan now, aren't we? I got questions about that one, don't you? 212-209-2950, but not being a politician, having my own feelings about things, 212-209-2950, $75, three CDs, called The Emotional, Intense Emotions. I got people standing by right now. And then here's the other thing. For a $175 donation, you get a meeting with me, Armand DeMille. You meet with me personally. I'll sit down with you. I'll help you sort it out. Emotions, like I said, are like, it's like doing a total chemistry. It's very hard to get down to the bottom of it. Very, very hard. 212-209-2950. You don't understand yourself. You don't understand someone you love. Or two of you don't understand each other, or you don't understand your children, you could buy a one-time meeting with me for $175, which is a significant discount to the price you would normally pay, and that money would go directly to WBAI, keeping them on air, and it would give you a chance to meet with me. You can make the donation to WBAI and call my office directly after that, and we will give you an appointment. It happened so quickly, it's amazing. We're also sending out the CDs directly from my office. We're sending them out as soon as you get we get your payment, right? And you want these three CDs, you can have them within a week. 212-209-2950, my friends. We're going to go back talking about emotions right now. 212-209-2950. But I realize it's been a long time. You've just been hearing. And, you know, you've got to have some spirit. Need spirit, you know? Keep it going. So make your phone calls right now, would you please? Three CDs, $75, 212-209-2950. How about a little Patricia Barber?
Drums keep pounding rhythm to the brain. La-di-da-di-di. La-di-da-di-da. Charleston was once the region. History has turned the page. The mini skirts, the current thing. Bopping a newborn kingdom, and the people's on. The people's on. The grocery store's a supermarket. Still break your heart out. Men just keep on marching after war. Electrically they keep the baseball score. And the beat goes on.
On, my friends, you got to keep the beat of WBAI going on. 212-209-2950. Keep your own beat going on too, you know what I mean? 212-209-2950. 2950. Make that call, make that donation. WBAI 99.5 in New York City, my friends. 212-209-2950. $75. You learn about emotionalism, intense emotions. $175, a one-time meeting with me. Any amount of money, a straight donation. Keep the education going. And when you call in, we have our volunteers standing by. And you might get Lydia Valentin, who is one of my right-hand people, who's down there answering the phones. Get Lydia on the phone. Give a shout-out to Lydia. Say, hey, Lydia. Armand just said hello to you. Hello, Lydia. And all the other folks down there as well, doing this terrific job of answering the phones. Because without the phones being answered, we couldn't get our donations, and without the donations. So if you could answer phones, friends, if you can't give money, come on down to the station. Call first. We'll set you up. We'll get you in the computer. Get into the station. Answer some phones. We're talking about the importance of emotions today, and we're talking about emotions in general. And this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Sending special wishes to Anita Kay, who is at the moment under the knife. Yeah, I'm getting some surgery right now, hoping that she's really doing well. Just want to send my heart out to you, wherever you are, however you could feel it. What about emotions? Well, here are a few of the reasons why our emotions are important. Survival. How do you think emotions relate to survival? Well, I think a lot of people would survive more if they didn't have the intense emotions. But then they'd get the three CDs. Nature developed our emotions over a million years of evolution. As a result, our emotions have the potential to serve us today as a delicate and sophisticated internal guidance system. If you have your emotions, you have an additional guidance sensor that other people who don't have emotions, alexithymics, don't have. Alexithymia, very good for bookkeeping, very good for accounting. You don't need your feelings. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you want an accountant who says, aha, oh, I'd love to take care, you know, and has feelings that go with it. Too many feelings? You know, people with too many feelings, I don't want overly emotional policemen. I don't want them. I want them to be a little less emotional. You know, I don't want hyper-emotionality. But it is good for your survival, because when we feel lonely, our need for connection with other people is unmet. So loneliness makes us connect. When we feel afraid, we look for safety. When we feel rejected, we try to improve ourselves to look better. Our emotions are also a valuable source of information. Our emotion helps us make decisions. Studies show that when a person's emotional connections are severed in the brain, he cannot make even the most simple decisions. Why? Because he doesn't know how he will feel about his choices. How many of you are there always ambivalent? Those ambivalent ones, I could tell you, you're brainiacs. You're all up in your mind, and you're so far from your emotions. If we connect you to your emotions, which is the process we use in therapy to cure somebody of this perpetual ambivalence, when we connect you back to your emotions, the ambivalence goes away. It's all about the absence of feelings. Other things that emotions do for you is setting boundaries. When we feel uncomfortable with a person's behaviors, our emotions set in. If we learn to trust our emotions and feel confident expressing ourselves, we can let someone else know we feel uncomfortable as soon as we're aware of the feeling. The trouble with too many people is they wait till it accumulates, you know, and then they attack, and then they get violent, and then they get really loud. But if you're tuned into your own emotions, you could let somebody know, this is the way I feel. At least identify it in yourself. This will help us set boundaries, which are necessary to protect our physical and mental health. And setting boundaries means, you know, if you're somebody who gets very angry because you give everywhere and nobody gives you back, you set boundaries. You don't take on too many giving tasks. You set a few, you know? Another thing that emotions give you is they help you communicate. Communication is a very important thing. Our emotions help us communicate with others. Our facial expressions, for example, can convey a wide range of emotions. If we look sad or hurt, we are signaling to others that we need their help. All you have to do is look a certain way, and everybody kind of looks at you and goes, You know, how can I help you? What's the matter? You know? What's the matter? What a good word. That's one word. What's the matter? If we're verbally skilled, we're better able to express our emotional needs and thereby have a better chance of filling them. If you don't express your needs, how are you going to get them filled? You hope the other person's a magician? You should have known what I need. I hear that so often. But, geez, what a thing, asking somebody to read your mind. If we're effective at listening to the emotional troubles of others, we're better able to help them feel understood, important, and cared for. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, talking with you about emotions and the way emotions are and the way we feel and the way things are. It's about emotions. There's another very, very big feeling, and the big feeling is called unity. Our emotions are perhaps the greatest potential source of uniting all the elements on the planet. Did you ever get a sense that you're connected? You know that feeling you get safe and you kind of relax, and then suddenly you dissolve your ego? Ego, described by my friend Peter Russell as the skin-encapsulated sack. Inside your skin is this person that they call Jana, right, or Armand, and they call us something, and that's who we are. But we forget that we are connected to the universe, to whatever God is, to the things around us, to the air we breathe. Oh, you want to deny that? You want to make yourself just something independent? Well, what about the air you're breathing? Is that you or not you? What about the air that's in your body? How about that? Is that you? If you say, no, it's only what's inside the skin that's me. What about that air? Is it inside you? Well, what happens when you exchange air? When you breathe in and you breathe out, what happens to your air? You know, so you're connected. You're connected to everything around you. Everything that comes inside you is connected to you in some way. That feeling of connection is a beautiful thing. When we feel happy, when we feel content, we feel like undivided. And unfortunately, when we feel divided and separated, we feel so terrible, because this feeling of unity is such a powerful thing. It seems fair to say that it's our beliefs that divide us, and it's our emotions. You know, it's our beliefs that kind of separate us, prejudice, beliefs, objectifying beliefs. Emotions unite us. Did you hear that, Johnny? Johnny Unitas, did you get that? 212-209-2950. Armand D'Amelio with you with the positive mind. How are you going to help people with the emotions that they feel? There are so many emotions out there. We're talking about the psychology of emotions, feelings, and thoughts, and we're talking about it here at WBAI, and we're talking about it at a time when we need your help tremendously here at the station. We need you to be with us and taking a part of what goes on here, because what goes on here is a great thing. You know, we have a wonderful station. And today we're talking about emotions, so you can understand emotions, and we've been offering CDs about emotions. In fact, let me introduce you to Jana. Jana, who's in the studio with us again today. Hey, Jana, helping me out.
Hello, Armand. Hello, everybody. And speaking of unity, maybe we could all join together and pitch in and help WBAI become even stronger than it is today. So please support community radio and independent media, and dial 212-209-2950 and make a contribution in any way that you can. We are asking that you join the family of WBAI. There are different ways that you can do that today. And one way is to do an electric funds transfer. That's an interesting way to pitch in, which means you could decide that you would like to give $10 a month for 5 months or 3 months or 2 months. And you can give that information to the people that you call down at the station, 212-209-2950. Tell them what you would like to do. Decide on a budget and decide that what you can give. Maybe sometimes I say per year I'd like to give to WBAI $150. And then I allow myself that, and I listen to a few shows and I buy a few things. Maybe you want to make a contribution of $50 a year, $25 a year. But try to work us into your budget. We really appreciate anything that you can give today. Again, that number is 212-209-2950. If you can make a contribution of $175, you can have a one-time consultation with Armand. Come up to his office at the DeMille Center. You can come alone, or if you are in a relationship and looking for some guidance, you can come in with a partner or a friend and spend the afternoon with Armand talking about whatever you'd like to talk about.
You know, let me take one note about that, by the way. I love to meet people that you're related to. So if you come up and you want to speak to me alone, that's great. But if you come up with one of your SIGs, as in significant others, or as I call it, SO, significant other, with one of your SIGs or SOs, I want to meet them too, because I learn a lot from them. So I've had people come up with their mothers, and I say, give me 3 minutes alone with your mother to talk to her. And I learn all this stuff about you. So don't be, you know, you want to bring them by. We're not too good with babies. If you bring up babies, we don't have a place to put them here. We don't. And on top of that, if you're coming in and you're learning about yourself and you have the distraction of a baby, very difficult. Very difficult for me to show you anything about you when you have to be attending to the baby. But anybody else, you know, it's not that we're anti-baby, it's just, it doesn't work. 212-209-2950, come on up. There are people who are online right now. We have people there who are taking our phone calls, and we have people there who know exactly what takes place when you make this donation for $175. There are people there who work with me. There are people there who understand. They'll tell you. They'll tell you what I do. They'll tell you what my track record is. And they're honest folks. 212-209-2950. Marty's down there, and I know Teresa's down there as well. 212-209-2950. These are incredible people who give their time to WBAI, as does everybody else at WBAI. Such a station. I'll tell you, you've been reading about TV stations closing, CBS just like kind of virtually collapsing, cutting its dividends, saying, we don't know what's going on. Media disappearing, everything else falling apart. Probably as it should be, because they became such pigs. They were bought out. They did. I mean, the news, the TV was all bought out by corporations, and now General Electric is $10. You know, the stock has fallen apart. And it's happened in the society where it's kind of cleaning itself out, but in the cleansing, the funds have dried up for something that was clean the whole time, which is WBAI. We never took a donor. Not a donor. We never took a commercial. We never were owned by a corporation. This station is amazing. You know, you don't hear us saying things like you hear on NPR. You know, this is brought to you with the aid of vodka. You know, or, you know, something like that, where this is some little commercial coming in. We may have to take a commercial eventually. I wonder if we're going to sell cat food. That's what I had to do on WEVD when I worked there, and I quit. But whatever it is, hopefully we don't. Hopefully with your donations, 212-209-2950, we'll do it. And here's another thing you could do. $175, you meet with me. For $75, you get these three CDs on emotional intensity. And these are terrific. You're going to use these. You're going to keep them. You're going to listen to them. You're going to throw them at people. You're going to do whatever you want with it. 212-209-2950. We got a couple of phones standing by. I hope Claudia is there. Claudia, who runs the shop down there, usually one of the people running the shop, does a fantastic job of pulling it all together. 212-209-2950. Make your calls, my friends. 212-209-2950. I'm going to go right back to our programming. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Let's get you in there with the phone calls, because what usually happens is we don't get much of a chance. Come on, Ken, make those calls. Here we go. Bopping. Nice day out there today, isn't it? What'd you say? How would I know? Ask Michael G. Haskins. Isn't it a nice day out there today, Michael? He's inside the studio, windowless. Not a window in sight. Hey, listen, some of the emotions. There's a connection between your emotion and your body. Each primary emotion creates body sensations. You feel your feelings in your body. That's why they are called feelings. Tuning into your body sensations can help you identify how you're feeling on a deeper level and to stay with your feelings. People ask all the time, what should I do with my emotions? And the best thing you could do with your feelings is to identify the primary emotions and feel them. Most people are trying to get away from feelings. They feel a little anxiety, they feel panic, they go and they react to it. They get up, they jump around, they do all kinds of things. They feel sad, they go do something. So the problem is doing something. And what we, as therapists, teach people to do is to feel these feelings, identify them, and feel them, and go through the feeling of them, because they have a time. It's like sweat. It cleanses your body. There's no danger. All the insanity I've ever seen in my life is a result of an attempt to escape emotions. Let me give you some hints today on how to identify your primary emotions. Notice what you're feeling in your body, and then think about the following. So we want to know an emotion, and then we want to know a location in your body, and then we want to know the possible sensations you feel in this. You get it? I'm going to give you the emotion, the body location, and the possible sensations you're feeling to help you identify what feelings are. For example, sadness. Sadness, I think you feel in three places. Your throat, your chest, and your belly. Fourth place would be right under your eyes. You know, sadness. You ever feel that when those lacrimal glands say, time to party? So, in your throat, what do you feel when you feel sad? You feel kind of a lump in your throat. Sadness feels like a narrowing of your throat. And then, in your chest, you can feel a kind of an ache, a pressure. And in your belly, you feel kind of an emptiness. Sadness and emptiness go together. And when people talk about feeling empty, it's usually in their belly that they feel empty, even if they've eaten food. So if you were to put these together, if you were to ask somebody what they're feeling and they gave you the physical sensations, you might help identify the emotion. Anger, for example. Where do you feel anger? Think about it. Where do you feel? First thought, where do you feel it? Back of your neck, right? Dun, 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 dun. Tyrannosaurus Rex. Back of your neck. And what does it feel like back there? Lumps. You know, people who have neck problems and tension in the back of their head, you know what's wrong, don't you? They're angry, right? Big deal. They go to chiropractors, right? The chiropractor gives them an adjustment. The thing goes away for a minute, and then it comes back. They get injections. The injections go in. The acupuncturists go in there. It takes it away. It comes back. Anger is something that you have to learn to deal with. What does it mean to deal with anger? It means to feel it, to identify it, to express it if it is appropriate, but to certainly recognize it and to not bury it. Other places you feel anger in your head. You feel throbbing temples. You feel it in your jaw. You know, you're angry. Oh, my poor jaw. People who come to me and say, my jaw hurt, I know exactly what's wrong with them, right? They want to bite somebody's head off. That's why your jaw hurts, because nature gave you these teeth to go ripping into somebody's skull when you get angry. Hurts in the jaw. Your shoulders hurt so much when you're angry. When you got pain in your shoulders, you got chronic pain in your shoulders, you take things for the pain in your shoulders, right? You learn to identify that anger. Or better yet, you learn to go through the feelings of anger, and which we teach you and specialize in. Boy, that stuff opens up. It's beautiful. And in your hands and in your arms, anger held back, curl. You could feel this tension. You know, you almost want to make a fist. So this is Armand DeMille talking about some of the places where you feel feelings, right? Fear, for example, where do you feel? Think about feeling frightened. You know, you go, oh, I'm frightened, frightened, frightened. Could you sink into it for a minute? Be scared, be scared, be scared. Go into being scared. You feel that in your belly. You get butterflies fluttering. You know, it's like a heavy ball in your stomach. Oh, you get frightened. Your head and face, you almost become dizzy. In your chest and throat, you have a shortness of breath when you feel fear. And in your face, you feel tension around your eyes, your mouth. Your mouth gets dry when you're frightened. Now let's move to other kind of feelings not so unpleasant, like sexual feelings. Where do you feel them? Well, you feel them in your genitals. That makes sense. What do you feel in your genitals? You feel the blood flow. And the blood flow goes there, and it's streaming, and it feels full, and you feel effulgent. You feel bloated with, you know, with this blood that's now going there, saying, okay, this is for sensation. Sexual feelings always seem to occupy the lower belly as well. You have a sensation right above your genitals in your lower belly. It has like an achy kind of good feeling. And then sexual feelings also have in the front of the body, there's a warmth. Could be in your breasts, in your chest. You have this kind of warmth all over. Interesting thing they learned recently. This I found fascinating. I'm always studying as much as I can hormonal reactions as well. They learned why kissing is such a part of sex. You know, why is kissing so important? I mean, pardon this. When I was a kid, and I mean 12 years old, we had like a standard kid joke. Kissing is an upper persuasion to a lower invasion. We actually said that all the time, and then we laughed like crazy. I don't think we knew what it meant. But it was funny. Well, they found something very interesting about sex and sexual stimulation. One would think that men get sexually stimulated when they feel a lot of testosterone, and women would feel a lot of sexual stimulus when they feel a lot of estrogen. Right? And that was what you would think. A lot of female hormones, a lot of male hormones. No, no, no. The one that really turns on both is the testosterone. When women get a dose of testosterone to go along with their estrogen, they feel fire. Now, that's a good thing to know, right? Because think about it. When you go through menopause, what do? They give you testosterone as well as estrogen because they don't want you to have just, you know, just one or the other. But now, here's what we found out, and it just, it kills me. Latest bit. Kissing. Kissing. Men tend to communicate testosterone through kissing. It actually is on the surface of the tongue. So when a man kisses someone, he transfers testosterone to them, and that turns them on if it's the right kiss. Now, get this for interesting stuff. If the kiss is too sloppy, meaning too much liquid, right? It makes you feel, get away from me. But that's because it washes out the testosterone as well, right? And then the other thing is the peck doesn't work to turn you on. A peck is just a peck, right? It's not the thing. And, of course, this is not exclusive man-woman. Because usually when there is even homosexual relationships, one is the aggressor and one is less aggressive and is the aggressive one who has the testosterone to share through the kiss. God bless. So now here's a funny thing. Let's say you're a scientist and you know this. And you're trying to kiss somebody. Do you start thinking to yourself, I'm transferring testosterone? I mean, what a thing to be thinking when you're kissing. Oh, here's a little testosterone. They have another thing, oxytocin. Oxytocin, which we talked about, which is the bonding chemical. Now, this is the thing that makes you feel really connected to someone. And they find out that you get it when you hold someone. They find out you get it after sex. They find it when your bodies are really connected. Oxytocin. And the oxytocin is the bonding chemical. Now, they found recently for people with autism, children with autism, they've been treating them by giving them oxytocin spray. They spray them, and what does it do for an autistic child who doesn't feel connected? It's beginning to make them feel connected to people. Whew. Imagine getting your hands on that spray. And then you like somebody who doesn't necessarily notice you, and you could just squirt it on them, you know? Oh, I'm in love. Poor wife, right? And then that with a little testosterone kiss, and they're done for. I'm being silly. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Going back to emotions. Joy. How is joy as a feeling? What does it feel like? Can I tell you? Can ask yourself, what does joy feel like in your body? Go ahead. Look, you're absolutely in your chest. Spacious. spacious, expansive, joy. Ah, wonderful feeling, right? You could feel it. Your eyes, when you feel joy, you are alert, glowing, clarity in your eyes. And the front of your body has a kind of a bubble to it. It's like a giggly feeling. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. How about sadness? Oh, sadness. So if you could, there may be other feelings you experience which are not these. But when you're feeling an emotion, take a moment to tune into yourself and spend time considering each emotion and whether or not you're feeling any of them. And we often feel more than one feeling at a time, and it can get quite complicated trying to sort it all out. Therein, it usually pays to have somebody around who understands emotions. But do therapists understand emotions? I don't think so. I think most therapists have no idea what it is. They kind of, you know, they talk about it, but I don't think they know. But listen to this, my friends. 10% of life is made up of what happens to you. 90% is decided by how you react. Think about that. We can have all the tragedies in the world. It's how you react. And how you react is based on your emotions, how you handle your emotions, and your basic emotional needs. Because all humans have basic emotional needs. Their needs to be expressed as feelings. For example, the need to feel accepted, respected, and important. While all humans share these needs, each differs in the strength of the need. Just as some of us need more water and some of us need more food or more sleep. One person may need more freedom and independence. Another may need more security and social connection. One may have a greater curiosity and a greater need for understanding, while another is content to accept what they're told. But what happens when people get together? They try to tell each other that they should feel the needs the way they feel the needs. You know, and here's where the problem is. Loving the difference between your feelings and someone else's feelings is amazing. One of the major problems I've observed in schools and in the treatment of all children is that if their emotional and psychological needs are kind of, if they're at arms, the result is many children's needs are unsatisfied. They become frustrated, as do many of us when we get in need. They act out of their frustration in various ways, which are typical and now called misbehavior. You got to find what the child needs. The better we identify the unique needs and satisfy them, the fewer behavioral problems there are. One of the things teenagers who are cutting themselves seem to have in common is that they're extremely bored at school, as well as emotionally neglected, over-controlled, or abused at home. Common. And they cut themselves. In dysfunctional families, it is most often the emotional needs which are not met. The children and the teenagers are getting enough to eat, and they have a roof over their heads, but their emotional needs are just not being met. And that's the way it is with emotions, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. So, you know, I know it sounds tough to understand this, and understand human emotions, but, you know, stay tuned with us. We're with you today between 1 and 2 o'clock. It is 2 o'clock, 1 and 3 o'clock. It is 2 o'clock here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, right here. And if you want to, right now, you could go to WBAI. No, if you want to, you can call 212-209-2950, and you can make a donation to the station. And in that donation, you could find yourself being a part of something beautiful. $75 gets you 3 CDs that I produced on emotional reactions and intense emotional reactions. These 3 CDs will give you a significant amount of insight into emotional reactions and intense emotional reactions. $175 gives you a one-time consultation with me personally. 212-209-2950. Here's a chance for you to dial in. 212-209-2950. A little music for you.
Como busca el agua la sed. La estela de tu perfume. Suave vendaval, rumbo a tu recuerdo seguí. La senda de tu perfume.
That's from Bajafondo, 212-209-2950. I know you've heard me ask for this before, my friends, but you know, I can't stop asking. If we had to, every radio show we ever had, if it was a half hour of doing programming and a half hour of asking you for money, I would be happy to do it. Because I believe so much in what we're doing. I give to the station. I give an enormous amount to the station. In this case, I am giving the CDs at no cost to the station. I am producing them myself. I am mailing them to you at my own postage costs because I want to give to the station. That's my gift. And then I also will have the meeting with you and the station will get the money. 212-209-2950. Give it, my friends. We're in this together. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. Listening to Bajafondo, by the way. So let's talk more about human emotions, just in case you think that we've completely covered the subject. Boy, I could talk about this easily all day, one day at least. So I've been doing psychotherapy now with people for many years. And what I've learned is that people have their emotions screwy. Their emotions and their thoughts get confused. They don't know the difference between a feeling and a thought. They don't know how to do it. There are things they call primary emotions and secondary emotions. There's illogic. It is very difficult. Some people in life cause people to feel. Some things in life cause people to feel things. And then when you feel something because of something, that's called an emotional reaction, right? Now, a reaction is different than a feeling that naturally emerges. A reaction. You could be laying around your house and you could feel love without having it be a reaction to anything. It could just emerge. But we have a lot of emotional reactions, and how you handle your emotional reactions is really very, very important. Some things in life cause people to think, right? These are sometimes called logical or intellectual reactions. So an intellectual reaction is some thought is triggered in your brain, and you think, but you're not necessarily feeling anything. Some things make you feel, some things make you think. Thus, life is divided between things that make you feel and things that make you think. Tell me anything you can think of that doesn't strike either one of those two. Something makes you feel or something makes you think. The question is, if someone is feeling, does that mean that they are thinking less? It probably does. If part of your brain is being occupied by feeling, then it makes sense that you have less capacity for thought. So, for example, if you're trying to figure something out, and you get deeply emotional while you're trying to figure it out. It's sometimes it's hard to think. It's very hard to think when you're upset. And it's obvious if you take emotional extremes such as crying, where people can barely think at all. This does not mean that emotional people are not intelligent. It just means that they're quite dumber during the times when they are deeply emotional. Emotion goes on and off for everyone. Some people cry, and sometimes they are completely serious. Some people in life can identifiably cause more emotion than other things. Some things in life do. Color causes more emotion than black and white. So anything with more color is going to be more emotional to look at, whether it's the difference between gold or silver sword or a gold or silver computer. In both cases, it's the gold that you're going to have the biggest emotional response to. But intellectual response, go for the silver. What are the biggest color of all computers? They're silver, right? Computers are silver, aluminum looking, or black, right? Very few pink ones out there. Now, things that are personal are emotional. Personal things that people like and that they feel are close to them. Things like home or anything someone likes, actually. This is the definition of emotion, after all. Something that causes feeling. So if you like it, it's probably going to cause more feeling. Other things aside from liking something could cause emotions from it, such as curiosity, but usually like it is one of the stronger emotions. You could say that your two are directly proportional. The more you like something, the more it's going to cause you feeling. That makes sense, right? But there are things that people like that cause thought. You could like something and it causes you to think, and we previously defined emotion as feeling, not thought. So the confusion between thoughts and feelings is very frequent. People just don't know how to distinguish between the two. And it's like, am I feeling it or am I thinking it? Well, here it's kind of simple. Let's just say the formula is as follows. When you feel, you have a sensation in your body. When you think, it's just their words. So, for example, you could say, I feel like leaving. Now, there's a sensation in your body because you're restless. But then, if you were going to be accurate, you'd say, I feel restless. The like leaving is the answer to the feeling. So you have a feeling and you want to reduce the feeling, and this way of reducing it is through an action, such as leaving. So now we have the big fib of the universe. F-I-B, write this down. F as in Frank, I as in idiot, B as in bubbles. F-I-B, the big fib. The big fib is feelings, impulses, and behaviors, and let me describe that to you. A feeling is something you feel, okay? Now you have a feeling, and you have a feeling, let's say that you're somebody who is very comfortable being emotional, and you're comfortable with it, you're okay with it, and you have feelings, and you weep when you feel sad, and you get angry, but you're very comfortable with your emotions, and I ask you, if you were to feel happiness, what level would you let yourself feel it? You let yourself feel joy on a scale of 1 to 10. Well, you may see, what would 10 be? 10 would be the best rock concert you were ever at in your life, where you were dancing off the roof with a bunch of friends, right? That's a 10 or a 9. Or a 10 could be running down the beach with someone you love with nothing in your mind and the salt air blowing on you, you know, whatever. 10. Do you let yourself go that far? Or maybe you're one of those people, when it comes to feeling love, you get up to about 8, and you start wondering, and you start figuring out, and you start thinking. So everybody has a limit as to how much they're willing to feel. Are you willing to feel, and I'm going to go through some emotions for you, how much anger are you allowed to feel? Well, most people were prohibited from feeling angry when they were kids. They were told by the people in charge, this is not convenient, don't get mad. You shouldn't get mad. You're being selfish, don't get mad, don't get angry. Stop that, right? Words you heard as kids. Some people are not allowed to get angry. So if I were to ask them, how much anger are you allowed to feel? Most people would say, five. Now, some people say, because they get rageful, they say 10. And I say, no, that's not anger. That's rage. We're going to talk about rage because that's a reaction. That's not the feeling. The feeling is, imagine being angry and just letting yourself feel it and not do anything about it. Without suppressing it, without eating yourself up. People who don't feel anger are always depressed. Well, no, some people are beyond anger. But usually most people who've suppressed their anger are usually depressed. And that's what depression is. Depression is the opposite of anger. So let's go back to anger for a moment. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much anger do you allow yourself to feel? You could answer for me. Just off the top of your head, say it to me. I'm using John as my guinea pig because...
8.
You're an 8. You allow yourself 8, right? Okay, great. Now let's say we'll go to joy. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you allow yourself?
10.
10. You go all the way up, right? You're like a child. You get up there and you're like a baby all the way up at the top. Children could feel it. Did you ever see a 2-year-old running around a house with a toy in the hand? Yeah, 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 yeah. Right? They are so happy. Right? Beautiful feeling. 10. Well, how about sad? How far would you go with sad? A lot of people feel sadness like an abyss. They're afraid of it. They feel it. And it goes down, and they feel themselves sinking down and down and down. And as they're sinking into it, they cut it off with a thought. I am lonely, they say to themselves. And as soon as they say they're lonely, they've cut off the feeling of sadness and now connected it to needing somebody. And they get on the phone and they make calls, because this is what happens. When you have a feeling that goes to the point of your comfort level, which is like in sadness, for example, if you only allow yourself to feel 6, and it's starting to go to 7, a trigger goes off in your brain that says you must reduce this feeling. And what it does is it gives you a thing called an impulse. An impulse is always an attempt to reduce a feeling. Every impulse that you ever have is because there's a feeling that you don't want to feel. So then you have an impulse, and the impulse dictates the following. It says, we have to reduce the feeling you have. We want you to do a behavior. And if you do a behavior, it reduces the feeling. So, for example, let's say you're feeling angry. And you're feeling, or you're feeling anxious, and it sends out an impulse. Oh, you're getting anxious, you're getting too anxious, you're getting too anxious. You say, oh, I'm angry. See, now you make up anger. That's the impulse. The impulse is to say, oh, we're going to do something angry, and you yell at somebody. And you yell at somebody, and you get this release, and you've reduced the feeling by yelling. Feelings, impulse, behaviors. Impulses lead to behaviors that are meant to reduce the feeling. Now, but then some people say, no, I have a feeling, and I start to think. Well, thinking is a behavior. One of the behaviors we have is not only what you do with your body, but thoughts itself. So am I confusing to you? I want to go back over this. Feelings, impulses, behaviors. Sexual excitation. Those are words that got everybody's head turned around. You could just suddenly see people who were getting bored, suddenly alerted, people in the tally room. Sexual excitation, good words. How much do you allow yourself? How turned on will you allow yourself to be before you have to do something about it? Men have this kind of mechanism that they were built with. That says if you feel sexual excitation, you have to use that opportunity to discharge your excitement in the form of some kind of an orgasm or sperm, and you discharge it so that you can move on to spread more seed. This is just what you're born with. But some men let themselves feel really turned on. You know? There are forms of yoga where people make love and they never have orgasms And they just keep building the excitement and building the excitement and building the excitement. And they hold themselves right back from the orgasm all the time. And it's like they talk about it as one of the great experiences ever. How far do you allow sexual excitation? A lot of people won't allow themselves past 3, 4 before they do something about it. So we have a number of emotions that have a level. And it would be wise for you to write down, what do you think your level is for each emotion before you do something about it? Now, I talked about anger and rage. Rage is an explosion that is meant to reduce the feeling that you have behind it. See, so most people, if they feel vulnerable, for example, they get an impulse and then they get rageful. That's not an expression of anger. That's an expression of vulnerability and powerlessness. Rageful people are not angry. Rageful people are powerless. Once you see that, and then you see rageful people, it makes things really different. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, 212-209-2950. Understanding emotions is no minor thing. It's a major thing. It takes a lot of work. Luckily, I've got 3 CDs for you.
212-209-2950 is the number we're asking you to call today to support The Positive Mind and WBAI. 212-209-2950. If you make a contribution of $175 today, you can have a one-time consultation with Armand. Come up to the DeMille Center and meet with him, and he will discuss any issues you would like to bring up. He will go over and identify the primary emotions, because my experience of being with Armand for all these years and working with him, I've learned how to identify my feelings, and it's really helped my judgment. I feel more clear-headed when I need to make a decision, and when I'm looking for that clarity, and I feel like I want to make the right decision. I'm able to do that because I can identify my feelings now, and I've learned a lot from him. So come up, spend the afternoon with Armand. Learn about yourself. It sets you free in a way, and it's tax deductible, and you're supporting WBAI, you're supporting the Positive Mind, and you're keeping this wonderful, wonderful radio station going, which is what I think we all want to do, and we really value WBAI and value the independent media here. So again, that number is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. If you make a contribution today of $75, you can get the 3 CDs on intense emotions. One is called Emotional Blackmail, and Armand will discuss that with you. On that CD, dealing with hysteria and nagging and being nagged, these are all traps that everyone falls into at some point. You know, life, you go through so many changes in life, and what these CDs can help you with, they're really tools to help you live more productive lives and become more aware of yourself and how you deal with others. These CDs are very helpful. And again, that's for a contribution of $75. 212-209-2950. Please support the Positive Mind. Thank you so much for everyone who has done so far, has made their contributions. Remember, this is tax deductible. And again, that's $75 for the 3 CDs on intense emotions. 212-209-2950.
Michael, any thank yous up there for us? 212-209-2950.
Not just at the moment, but I'll get some and bring them to you directly.
Great. 212-209-2950. Thank yous mean we want to be able to thank some of the people. But, you know, we're talking about deep emotions, and I wanted to talk to you about something that I learned from Florence Chadwick, of all people. You know, here's a little surprise for you. How emotions affect you, and here's a little something from my archives. Let's hope this one works. Let's see. Oops. So far, no good. There it is.
California coast was shrouded in fog that 4th of July morning in 1952. 21 miles to the west on Catalina Island, a 34-year-old woman waded into the water and began swimming toward California, determined to be the first woman to do so. Her name was Florence Chadwick, and she had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. The water was numbing cold that July morning, and the fog was so thick she could hardly see the boats in her own party. Millions were watching on national television. Several times, sharks, which had gotten too close, had to be driven away with rifles to protect the lone figure in the water. As the hours ticked off, she swam on. Fatigue had never been her big problem in these swims. It was the bone-chilling cold of the water. More than 15 hours later, numbed with the cold, she asked to be taken out. She couldn't go on. Her mother and a trainer alongside in a boat told her that they were near land. They urged her not to quit. But when she looked toward the California coast, all she could see was the dense fog. A few minutes later, at 15 hours and 55 minutes, she was taken out of the water. It was not until hours later, when her body began to thaw, that she felt the shock of failure. To a reporter, she blurted out, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I might have made it." She had been pulled out only a half mile from the California coast. Later, she was to reflect that she had been licked not by fatigue or even the cold. The fog alone had defeated her because it obscured her goal. It had blinded her reason, her eyes, her heart. It was the only time Florence Chadwick ever quit. 2 months later, she swam that same channel, and again fog obscured her view. But this time she swam with her faith intact. Somewhere behind that fog was land. Not only was she the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel, but she beat the men's record by more than 2 hours.
This is Armand DeMille. Boy, lucky me over my lifetime to have collected quite a few things. 212-209-2950. Let's get Michael. Let's say thank you to some of those folks who have made donations so far.
All right. Let's do that. Johnny Rosenthal from Edison, New Jersey, called in with a pledge of support for the Positive Mind. Taylor Ball from JAF Station, New York. Thank you so much. Vittorio Ferentino from New York City. Thank you so much, Vittorio. Tony Maiulo from East Millstone, New Jersey. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Tony, again. That's generous of you. That's twice.
Thank you, Tony.
In this fund drive.
Jeanette Mullman from Brooklyn, New York. And Jill Benson's from New York City. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Jill, we have a couple of Chai folks from the tri-state area. One from Freehold, New Jersey. Thank you so much. A caller from Ossining called in with the contribution to the Positive Mind. Another caller from Ossining. Or is it the same caller? Okay, we have two. Wow, a very generous contribution from same person from Ossining, and thank you. We thank you very much. A caller from New York City, one from Kinellen, New Jersey. Thank you so much. East Orange, New Jersey. A call came in for the Positive Mind along Edy, New York, as well as Central Islip, New York. All coming in for the Positive Mind with Armand DeMille contributions during this winter fundraising drive here on WBAI. That's it so far, Armand.
Thank you, Michael. Mm-hmm. Armand DeMille with you. Allegro from the Concerto de Arañez.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes, just to bring you the joy of listening, and I know how it touches your heart. This is from the Concerto de Arañez, which I used to as a kid, 20 years old. I can't tell you how many times I just said, let me hear that. Let me hear that, you know? Imagine that the person who created this was in some way an intellectual, but definitely had to be connected to his or her heart. I mean, it's such, there's some things about music that do it to you. It's like, it's impossible to have done this without the most tender feeling self. It's going to wind up that, you know, the author was a mass murderer or something, for all I know. But it just touches me. Emotion is more similar to conscious thought. Emotions and feelings can be described as unconscious thought. It's a very funny thing. You can recognize any feeling. That's what makes it a feeling. If you're sad, that's a feeling. But if you're depressed, that's not a feeling. That's more like an emotion. That's more like a sensorium of feelings. You can't identify why you're depressed, but you can usually identify why you are sad. You know what I mean? So the sadness, you get attached to something. But when you have this emotion, this mood, like rage or depression, it's hard to identify them. Feelings are more immediate. If something happens or is happening, it is going to result in a feeling. However, if something happened a long time ago, you're going to think about it unconsciously, and that's going to bring up unconscious feelings. So it gets very confusing to try to sort it out. And sometimes the mirror doesn't work. Sometimes that mirror of looking at yourself just doesn't work. It's very difficult because you always have this feelings, impulses, and behaviors. It's always very confusing. You have to be careful who you're talking to because they're going to feel bent on either being a feeling or a thought. Are they going to be able to identify it? Identifying feeling is a very, very difficult thing. How do you do it? How do you do it? What do you do with? How do you get your feeling to be identified if you're somebody who is dull? Well, here's something you could do. Step number one, pick something outside of your body right now, anything, and look at it, and relax, and consider it. As you consider it, do you notice that some definitive word comes up inside of you? And that definitive word, like if you said, oh, bright red pen, for example, that reflects an emotion that comes along with your perception. You can sort out your emotions, but it takes training. For men, it takes quite a bit of work if they don't feel to be able to sort through it. But the one thing you can't do is to fault them for not doing it. You can't fault somebody for not feeling, you know, for not feeling things. It's just the way it is. It could be, if you see somebody who is dull, it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that they're bad or something. It doesn't mean that they're shutting off their feelings or cutting off their feelings. It's not like you could say to them, you're doing something wrong. Let's talk about angry and upset feelings. You know, when you have sad feelings, angry and upset feelings often accompany the sad feelings. And it's natural to be upset and angry that you are sad. It just makes sense. If sadness usually reflects some kind of a loss, it is natural to get angry and upset that you have this loss. If someone is sad, it is natural that they are going to be upset that they are that way. Therefore, it's probable that all sadness has feelings of anger and agitation mixed in, doesn't it? But it's an amazing thing what happens when you get somebody who's sad and you help them identify the anger and the agitation. Someone who is sad, who is denying anger and agitation, usually becomes depressed. But if you identify the anger and the agitation and you let a person feel that and experience that at the same time, without blaming anybody or putting it on anybody, just allow them to feel it, they don't wind up depressed. So sadness is on its way to depression if you're denying the agitation and the anger that goes with it, too. But that's what we shrinks do for a living. We understand this, or some of us understand this. So one of the things that if you one of the things that you want to do is you want to be able to identify emotions as they're happening so that they don't sink into that zone where you can't feel anything anymore. Because most of the emotions that you feel, by the time you get to them, they've kind of been accumulated for too long. Ah, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing understanding it. Your mind, I mean, so many of you respect your mind so much. You're good thinkers. People at WBAI, they're very sharp, very smart people. I would say that the WBAI audience is probably the smartest listening audience. Maybe, well, I don't know about the rest of the world, but say in the United States. Pacifica Radio people, very, very smart. You know, compare it to TED. Do you know TED, T-E-D, on your computers? You can go to the TED websites. Very smart stuff. So what you do if you're a thinker, you listen to WBAI. Now, if you're a feeler, you may listen to Oprah. Because she capitalizes on human emotion. I mean, she milks it for everything it's worth. Not saying she's a bad person, but she represents you and your feelings. And she's going to bring you stuff about your feelings that will evoke feelings. She'll make you have feelings. She'll move your feelings around. She'll either spin you up with her lively personality, Or send you down by bringing you some issues that you have to challenge that make you cry. It's an emotional, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster. That's what she does. I do both. I give you stuff both for the emotional stuff, and I give you stuff that kind of gets your brain going, too. But that's the way it has to be, my friends. It has to be both. I mean, Oprah obviously does both as well. But it's really meant to kind of get you to be able to think and feel both. That's what you're looking for. And in order to do that, we need your help down here at the station. It is our, we're coming into our time here. 212-209-2950. I'm sorry to be keep hitting you with this, but, you know, it is our moment here at WBAI. And they ask me to be on the station with you because if I don't get up here and ask you for money and you don't send us money, the station will not exist in the future. Now, we've threatened that many times, but times are tough. I'm saying to you, and I usually don't say it, but I say it. I say it to you. So let me tell you a story. This is just a little personal thing for you all to know. When I was a kid and I was 17 years old, I lived next door. To a man, I moved in, a jazz musician named Bill Barron. Bill Barron, second person to save my butt, right? Second person who looked at me and was kind to me. Bill Barron, tenor saxophone, Kenny Barron, piano, his brother, right? Many of you know Kenny Barron. Bill Barron plays, now deceased. Bill Barron was beautiful, beautiful man, wore glasses, would sit next to her, right? I was in 1A, he was in 1B on 6th Street. Between 1st and 2nd Avenue, it was a storefront apartment. And I had Bill Barron there, and it was this kind of wonderful thing having Bill Barron next door to me. Because I would go in, and he would have everybody would come over to his house. Paul Chambers would come over. You know, Miles Davis would come over. I mean, everybody. Lee Morgan lived across the street. And people were passing by, and they'd stop over at Bill's, and me, the kid next door, I'd get a chance to stop over, too. Now, I was a drummer next door, and occasionally I would even play the drums with them, you know, but it was like I was so outclassed, it was amazing. But I had this wonderful thing from Bill. Bill just embraced me, welcomed me, and it was a beautiful thing. And then, later on, somewhere, as I got older, I heard that a man, a very famous jazz musician, Booker Ervin, had died. Now, Booker Ervin had died, and a friend of mine called me and said, you know, Armand, you're studying psychology. You got to come down here and look at this kid, Booker Ervin's son. And Booker Ervin's son was in shock because his father died. Booker Ervin Jr. was mulatto. He had a mom who was, she was very, very much out on alcohol, and she drank even heavier now that her husband had died. So she wasn't available. He had a kid sister who was running around like crazy, and little Booker didn't know what to do, so he sat in a closet. And he just sat in the closet, and he wouldn't come out. So he called me to come down. And I came down, and I saw this kid. And somehow he and I hit it off. And we became friends. And eventually I adopted him. And Booker Ervin Jr. is as much a son to me as a son will be to anybody. You can see his face on my website. He's all the way down at the bottom because he helped us construct the website. Did you ever meet Booker?
Yes.
You did, huh, Jana?
He's such a sweet guy. I love him.
Yeah, he's learned. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he came out of practically autism. Anyway, he wouldn't talk at all when I first met him. He wouldn't say a word. So now Booker Ervin, who is an adult living down south, but anyway, Booker Ervin and Bill Barron, Booker Ervin Sr. and Bill Barron, got together one time and played a little music, and a rare, rare piece for you to hear. These are these two guys together. Bill Barron and Booker Ervin, my family. Sort of that all the time. And that's what was going on all the time. So, you're listening to two men who have left the planet. Bill Barron died, Booker Ervin died. Not his son, just Booker Ervin Sr. Sometimes I'm amazed. People come in to see me, and they know things about my childhood. They know things about my life. But I can't imagine. Where did you get that from? But I realize I said it on the air. After being on here for so long, I guess I've told you an awful lot. I hope the stories are important to you because they kind of tell you how I, as a kid, survived and got through it and got to opening my heart as well. 212-209-2950. Friends, I need your help. I need to hear these phones ringing a little more. We're getting one or two calls in there now. We have people standing by, 212-209-2950. John is going to leave us in a couple of minutes. 71, you know, John says, come on up and hang out for the afternoon. The consultation with me is not a whole afternoon, but you can hang out here for a whole afternoon. You get to meet with me for just under an hour, but you meet all the beautiful people here at the DeMel Center. Wonderful place on 57th Street, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. So here are these two saxophonists kind of trading fours, which means they're like talking to each other. Now, one of the things I learned in having a jazz background and people knowing from the world of jazz that they knew that I was now a therapist, they would come to me and they would tell me their stories. And I found this remarkable coincidence among most jazz musicians. And the coincidence was that most jazz musicians were not good at expressing their feelings. They were mostly dull to their feelings. I don't mean that as an insult. But I remember one man who came up here, a very well-known trumpeter. I like that. You know, trumpet player? Trumpeter, the kind of trumpet that makes you cry. Trumpeter. He shed a trumpeter. Okay, so this guy comes up and he says to me, I don't know. And I said, so what did you feel? He says, I don't know what I feel. And I said, next week, bring in your trumpet. So he brought it in. This is like, we would meet at, I remember it was real early appointments for some reason. Oh, I know why, because he got off work at 4 o'clock and I would meet him at 6, right? So I met him at 6. And so he would come into my office and there was nobody else in the building at the time. And I would say to him, and we would talk, and I would say to him, so how did you feel when your father died? And he said to me, I didn't feel much. I said, what do you mean you didn't feel much? He says, well, you know, how do you feel when your father dies? He says, I was, and he was trying to describe it. And I said, well, could you describe it on your trumpet? And he did. And he played me the sound of his father on the trumpet and how he felt towards his father. And it was so clear and so sad and so yearning. And as he played, he said, this is what my father, he didn't play this before, a tear came to his eyes. So I said to him, you see, that's sadness. I said, so what do you feel when you see your daughter? He said, well, she's very nice. I said, well, show me on your trumpet what you feel. And he gives me one of these, and he's smiling while he's playing the trumpet, thinking about his daughter. And I said, you see that? That's joy. So for many of us, you have to kind of identify backwards. And very often there are things you do. Such as, Jana, thank you so much. Jana's leaving us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Armand. Thank you so much.
Yeah, go take care of what you got to take
Please
care
call.
Of.
Please call today.
All right. She's great. So we have many ways of identifying our feelings. Sometimes you could see it in art, sometimes in music, sometimes in touch. There are just many different reflections of the way we feel. And I say to you, my friends, it is very, very important that you have your emotions intact and readily available to you, because they are the color of your life. They're the spice of your life. They're the thing that makes you feel kind of happy to be here. Because without it, you're just a machine. Without the emotions, you're just doing nothing, you know? You're just around here doing more of the same thing over and over again. And we don't want to be doing that. We want to be a little different. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here at WBAI 99.5 FM in your dial. Be back with you in just a minute. In the meantime, you could call 212-209-2950 and take advantage of some of the things that we have right down there for you. 212-209-2950. This is a tune I learned to play on piano, because it was so simple. I could only play the beginning. Thelonious Monk. But this is Blue Monk, played at the 5 Spot, my hangout. My friends. Go to your phones right now. Go to your phones and make that donation to WBAI. You know, it's really a wonderful thing to keep this station going. $75 donation gets you 3 CDs that we have. And we have 3 CDs which are about intense emotionality. You have somebody in your life who's intensely emotional, a daughter, a son, or something like that. Get to understand it. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Make your calls right now. People are standing by right before the solo. Thank you for those calls, by the way. Thank you to all my friends out there. Sets me back. Who would have thought? 212-209-2950. We're talking about emotions, my friend. You know, emotions. There is more evidence that emotion plays an important role in your intelligence. Positive and negative emotions on a verbal working memory are usually tested. And I'll tell you, if you live in a miserable marriage, you can't think the way you normally would. Your creativity gets stunted. If there's emotional mayhem around you, your mind goes to taking care of the emotional stuff. Your poor mind, my friends, you know? So it's like it does detract. If you live in chaos, you can't think very much. In fact, I think very often people who are under attack, you know, shock and awe, which was the plan of our government to invade and scare people, of course it was with that strategy. If I make you afraid enough, you won't be able to think of how to respond to us. Well, some people manipulate it that way. What I want for you is I want you to be able to think and feel. Because emotions can also enhance your intellect. Your intellect can enhance your emotions as well. Because what they do is they add you the color. If you're going to be creative in your life, your emotions help you find all the variations that you need. So you don't want to do away with it. And if you have somebody you love who you say is too emotional, it's really difficult. Now, of course, comes the physical component. It is a killer, my friends. We are learning more and more about the fundamental chemical basis of so many emotions that are so disturbing. And I can only say through midlife crisis, through menopause, through premenstrual syndrome, the emotions that are dictated by the hormones is just amazing. So you have a responsibility. If you feel your emotions are out of control, you must take a close look, I believe, at your physical self as well to see what may be at play here. And especially if there's hormonal imbalances or changes, you have to learn how to either keep them in balance or to understand and anticipate the reactions that you are going to have because of these emotional changes. That's the work of Stephanie Donbrush. That's what she does. She helps people do that. She works with me. She's just amazing in the way she teaches it. And there's so much more to learn, but of course we're running out of time, so we can't teach all day. But I will be back with you next week at 1 o'clock on Wednesday of next week, when I'm going to be bringing you more stuff related to emotionality that you don't expect, stuff about performance. 212-209-2950. But in these last 5 minutes, my friends, would you please go to your phones? I'm not going to talk anymore. I need you to flood the phones. And this is when it usually happens, right about now. So as I leave you, 212-209-2950. Oh, I think that's Reggie Workman on the bass. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Make your calls. Friends, 212-209-2950. Do make your calls as I leave you today. 212-209-2950. I'll leave in the hands of Michael G. $75 you make the donation to WBAI. And you get, for $175, you get a meeting with me. A nice thing. For a $75 donation, you get the three CDs on intense emotionality. I will be back with you next Wednesday at 1 p.m., my friends. Between now and then, I leave you. Make your call. Go to your phones right now.
Available. We're at a fundraising drive right now.
p.m. for you to make your final call. No, four calls on the line now. The number to call is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. If you want a consultation or any of the CDs that Armand has been talking about this afternoon, five calls on the line, 212-209-2950. We'd like to thank Susan Levine from the Bronx for taking out the conversation. John Walker from Neptune, New Jersey. Thank you so much, John. Joe Ellen, Plancia from Staten Island. Thank you so much, Joe Ellen. Another call coming for the pop line right now at 212-209-2950. Francis Harslack Jr. from South Amboy, New Jersey. Thank you so much. Audrey Baker from Brooklyn, New York. Also calling for your support to WBAI. Mary O'Connell from Jersey. Another call coming in from Essex County, New Jersey. Thank you so much. Anthony P. Palmer from West Babylon, New York. Babylon, New York. Thank you so much. 212-209-2950. Thank you so much, Serene Roberts, the tally coordinator this afternoon. And thanks to all the volunteers helping us answer phones and take pledges. We now have five calls on the line, and we are just about out of time. Upcoming, a minute, talk back with Hugh Hamilton. You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI.